You know, when I was growing up, my parents traveled a lot. And I remember one time when we lived in Oceanside, California, we lived in trailer parks. I mean, that's when trailers were really trailers that you could tow, not like double wides and all that type of thing. But got home one day and Dad was cranking up the front of the trailer and getting ready to take off. And I said, I got home from school, right? He said, where are we going? He said, oh, we're going to Florida. I said, what? So, and that was kind of my life for a while. And we did. We went to Florida. He wasn't running from anything. We were just moving. Like to travel. But it kind of reminds me, I go away here and what happens? You know, everything's changed and hall's all different. And I'm surprised you didn't move on me while I was gone. Good to be back. Good to see everyone. We miss you all when we're not here. Whatever age you are, in this room, you have parents. What are some of the positive characteristics, some of the positive character traits, or positive situations that you inherited from your parents? Now you have to think back, and some of you it's going to be very easy. For some of you, it may be more of a challenge due to certain circumstances, considering the way you're raised. What are some of the things that your parents passed on to you that you would rather not have? There are character traits, there are situations, there are characteristics that maybe you'd rather not have that your parents passed on to you. There are both in life. I'm giving a mini-series beginning today called The Blessings and Sins of the Fathers. By fathers, we mean parents. We're not excluding. Some of you are raised with only mothers. But whoever we are, we have had blessings and we have had curses passed on from our parents. It's a basic principle, and it's necessary for us to realize the difference between the positive characteristics and things that we have had from our parents and the negative things that we've received from those that went before us. The Ten Commandments are the most basic rules to godly living. It was just ten. And we've got stacks and stacks of law books defining what righteousness is or the laws are of a land. God has Ten Commandments and expounds upon them. And it's interesting that within those Ten Commandments, as we look to internalize those ten, the two of them specifically discuss the blessings or cursings that we receive from our parents. And so I think it's an important topic for us to think about is what are those blessings we receive? What are the negative things that we receive as a result of our parents' actions or the things that they were or did or taught? Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I want you to wipe the smudges off your cell phones. Blow the dust off your Bible. Okay. Exodus 20 and verse 4. The New Living Translation says, and this is, again, Exodus 20, the list of the Ten Commandments that he gives. He says, you must not make for yourself, this is verse 4, you must not make for yourself an idol out of any kind or of an image or anything else in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. Verse 5 says, you must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. And this idolatry certainly goes more and refers to more than just taking a piece of wood or stone and bowing down to it. It's anything we put before God. Adam and Eve put Satan's rules or desires before God. When we sin, we put something ahead of God. And so idolatry covers a lot. And, you know, he continues after this statement to show the effect of an idolatrous parent. And of course, you apply all of the commandments to this principle. But he says, verse 5, the last part, he says, I lay the sins of the parents on their children. The entire family is affected, it says, this is a New Living Translation. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. It talks about the fact that sins of parents can be passed on to children, that we can, in a sense, inherit some problems and some difficulties and some things that are not good. And some of us have seen that effect. We're told the sins of the parents have an effect on their children. So again, what effect have the sins of your parents, whatever they might be, have on you? What effect do your sins have upon your children? And have they had on your children? On the other hand, this is not a negative thing. The title is The Blessings or the Sins of the Fathers. On the other hand, what blessings have your parents passed on to you as a result of keeping God's laws and principles, even if they weren't called or converted, if they kept certain biblical principles and had certain character that they followed God's laws, you know, even if they didn't know they were? Those are positive things that are passed on to you. Exodus chapter 6. Now, we just read the sins of the parents are passed on to the children of the third and fourth generation. You may think, oh, I'm toast, man. You know, look at what my parents did, or my grandfather was a really horrible guy in prison, or, you know, it could be any number of things, and so am I just ill-fated here? Continues in Exodus 20, verse 6, to say, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments. Sin has consequences. Obedience to God has positive effects. And he says that I will bless you for the positive ways that you obey me. Okay, so there's good and there's bad in life. There's both. You know, we still get blessings from our father Abraham. And so we're getting blessings from our fathers through the generations, as well as curses from things that others have done. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. So, the one commandment regarding bowing down to an image, and it says that the sins, when you disobey me, when you look for other gods, other ways of doing things, are going to have a bad effect, has a good effect when you follow God's ways. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the land which the Lord is giving you. Okay, there are blessings for our obedience, and one implication of this, although all parents don't end up being honorable, but when a parent is honorable, and you honor that parent by following them and their directions, and the way they guide you in a positive way, then you will receive blessings and you will live long. Now, by long, ultimately means forever and eternal life. So it's multi-layered as we talk about these things. So by following the commandments, honoring honorable parents, you will receive blessings. Now the blessings can also come in other ways. As I say, this is going to be a mini-series. I'm not going to answer all of the questions today. Some of them you may go away with more questions in your mind than answers. But you have to come back. This commandment is also an implied directive for parents to be honorable. So, okay, this one's just for the kids. No, it's for you as a parent to be an honorable parent so your children can receive blessings from that. Elsewhere, God sums it up. In fact, this concept of the sins visited to the children of the third and fourth generations is repeated a number of times in Scripture. Turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, you know, God is summing this concept up of blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And we're talking specifically about the effect of parents on children. And we'll see how it goes deeper even than that. Exodus 34 and verse 6. It says, "The Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands.'" You know, it sounds on one hand that our parents sin and we have an effect on us and we're just cursed, you know, or we don't have any hope. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it means. Because it says that he has mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Now, that's what this whole discussion about the sins of the parents is about. It's about recognizing God's way, recognizing disobedience to God's way, and choosing the right way, whoever we are, which we can do. Because he says he forgives transgression and sin. And so if your parent did something that has an effect on you, it doesn't have to be lasting. Because God is forgiving. He said that will by no means clear the guilty. Yes, when you sin, it has an effect, and your children have suffered as a result of something you did, or you're suffering as a result of something your parent or parents have done to you, it's still an effect. It's still, there's a penalty for sin. But it says, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. I want to read this same couple of verses here, 6 and 7, in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, again, in Exodus 34, verse 6, it said, "The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, 'Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I'm slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations.'" So he's looking to bless us. He's looking to see that we are able to build character, that we're able to be a part of his family, that we're able to be eternally in his kingdom. That's what his wish for mankind is. He says, "And I forgive iniquity and rebellion and sin." This is key. He forgives iniquity, rebellion, and sin. He says, "But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents on their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations." We've got to realize there is an effect of sin. What blessings or curses have affected you from those that have gone before you? Or effect are you having on your children? Why is it important to know? Man, this is an uncomfortable topic. I mean, who wants to talk about the effect of sin on us? Who wants to talk about imperfect parents or imperfect situations in which we've been raised? We want to look at the good, which we will, and that's going to be a main focus of what we're talking about. But why is it important to know? Why is it important to discuss it and to think about it? What does it mean, the sins or blessings of a family can be passed from generation to generation? And is there any hope? Are there others who have an effect on our character or on our lives or our situations. Is there anything we can do about sins passed to us from the parents? Is there anything we can do to reap the blessings from the wonderful and good things that wonderful and good parents pass on? In this part one of this mini-series, I basically want to introduce it by introducing three main areas of curses that have been passed on to us, and then contrarywise the blessings. Because God says there's blessings and there are curses. And we receive both in life. It's just the way life is. We're going to see how far this reaches. So we're going to identify three primary areas of curses or blessings passed down to us. And I want you to consider them and the effect that they have on your life. Either the good things or the negative things. And the lives of your family. These three areas that can bring curses to us are first, call it the sins of mankind. The sins of mankind that are passed on to you, no matter who you are, affects every one of us. The sins of society and the sins of our parents. Now we'll also take a look at the positive blessings that can come with each of these areas. From mankind, from society, and from family. And we're going to see that they tie in and have parallels together in talking about God's greater plan. So let's first of all, again, talk about these various areas. And again, the purpose of this series is to direct you to God's way, to God's plan, to God's way of life and principles that are going to bring you abundant life. Because no matter what our past, no matter what circumstances are around us, God gives each one of us the opportunity for abundant life, and especially life eternal in the kingdom. We're going to see how that works. So first of all, let's discuss the sins of mankind. Turn to Romans chapter 5. And you can go into many different scriptures, but we're just going to stay right here in Romans chapter 5 and show what we're talking about. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. The English Standard Version says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all, because all sinned. Okay, we've all got the Father. We've all got a common Father, whoever we are. And your common Father, physically, is Adam. That was his name. And God created Adam. And God created Eve. And from them, all of you are here, ultimately. Okay, and from their sin, that's had an effect on you. Now, let's look at a couple of other verses here, and we'll go on. But verse 14 says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one that was to come. And so the sins that we have and that our forefathers have committed are not all exactly the same, but they're sin. It's human nature. It's what we do. And it's been passed on and passed on and passed on, and we have earned the death penalty as a result of sin. So, yeah, we all earned a curse because of our father, Adam and Eve. Now, see, it's not just because of that, but so we have human nature passed into us by Father Adam, Mother Eve. Could any of us say, okay, if I'd have been in the garden, I mean, if I'd have been that first guy, if I would have been the first lady, literally, I wouldn't have sinned. I would have done it right. I would have chosen God's way. I would have just been the best example, and then everybody would live. And right now, You're saying, well, okay, I'm that great. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They said, I. They chose for themselves the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, 1 John 1, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, so you've all earned the death penalty. You've all sinned. Not one of you in here has not sinned. I don't think that comes as a surprise to any. If it does, we need to talk. Okay? And so sin started with Adam and Eve and has passed on, and you've inherited that characteristic and that trait. Okay, so you got sins passed down to the generations. Verse 10 of 1 John 1, verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word isn't in us. The sins and the proclivity of the fathers to sin have been passed down. When we sin, it brings problems to us. There are penalties for sin. So what about the blessings here, though? How do we get a blessing out of this? Because this is pretty awful, you know, that Adam sinned and death has been passed down to all of us. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5, at verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God the Father. Okay, so you've got a father who set the perfect example, and an elder brother, Jesus Christ, who's also called Father in Isaiah. And he's our father in a spiritual sense because we follow his ways and his direction, and we obey him. And we receive blessings. So we've got the Father, God, who demonstrates love towards us. A merciful God, a kind God, a God that sets the right example, who does the right things, who shows us how to live and how to be successful and happy. Okay, so we've got Father Adam. Received a bunch of bad stuff from him. You've got God the Father, and you receive more good stuff from him. Depending on how you react to that Father. Depending on how well you recognize the positive things the Father does. And that Jesus Christ did while on earth. But you see, we've got to recognize the sins of Adam. And we've got to recognize the positive blessings that come from God. We've got both. And most of us, as our parents, had some good and there are some areas where all have sinned, right? We've got to recognize the difference. Let's go on. So now we see the actions and blessings of a loving father. Verse 15 of Romans 5. Verse 15 says, but the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded in many. Blessings to thousands of generations through this man and through God the Father. Verse 18. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. And verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteousness. Now, it's not just the obedience of Jesus Christ, but it says, think like Christ does. Do as Christ did. And it's seeing that obedience and recognizing it and saying, that's a great way to live. I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I want to follow his way. I want to be a part of him and his positive attributes and characteristics and his morals. Not the Father Abraham. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is the basic premise of this sermon in a nutshell, is that we've got to recognize the sins of the fathers as sins. When I say fathers, I mean parents. We've got to recognize wrong. It's a little uncomfortable as a parent to think that our children might recognize we have some wrong, but we can't hide it. It doesn't mean we go tell everything that there is to say about our past or whatever. But we've got to see where we transgress and emulate the sins that of those that have gone before us. And then we've got to recognize the righteousness and the good things and the good traits and emulate them and say, that's godly. And I want to be more like Dad. I want to be more like Mom because they were following godly principles. But I want to avoid the things that were not so good. We've got to see where we can stray from our Heavenly Father and Elder Brother Jesus Christ. If we don't see the difference, we can't receive the blessings. I'll go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say, oh, my parents never had any problems, they're just perfect. You better recognize that, yeah, they have shortcomings too. Not that you focus on it, not that that's the main focus of what we're talking about. But it says, verse 9 of 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's just a matter of recognizing Adam's way went against God. Adam and Eve chose their way as opposed to God. I choose to choose God's way first. And where my parents chose God's way also, to recognize that and to follow that. We've got to know the difference. Are we following godly principles or man's way? And do we recognize the difference? Okay, so we've got sins of mankind, which again, when the Son of Man came, he showed us the right example as a gift from the Father. Okay, now societal sins. We're all affected by society around us. And it's getting worse and worse. The opening prayer pointed that out, something we all recognize. Look, this society is just going to pot. I mean, many societies literally anymore, you know, Colorado and Washington and so forth. The story of Israel demonstrates this time after time that we're affected by society around us and that we have to recognize the difference when there's a positive part of society and when there's a negative part of it. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26. And verse 14, I'm going to read again out of the New Living Translation, Leviticus 26, 14. So it says, however, if you do not listen to me or obey all these commands. In other words, if you, and he's talking about Israel as a society as a whole. And he says this to any society. If you're not going to listen to me, if you're going to do things your way, if you're going to reject my righteousness, he says this is what's going to happen. He says, if you do not listen to me or obey all these commands, and if you break my covenant by rejecting my decrees, treating my regulations with contempt, and refusing to obey my commandments. Oh, is this not our society today? They don't really want anything to do with God telling them what to do. When it comes to morality, when it comes to how to run your life, no, just leave God out of it. We've got to separate church and state. You can't possibly have God in our government. And again, this was contrary to what even the forefathers of this nation said when this country was being established and blessed. So they want to keep God out of it. And what's going to happen, he said, as a society, when our founding fathers or our governmental fathers, if you will, the rulers of our nation, it says, verse 16, I'll punish you. I'll bring sudden terrors upon you, wasting diseases and burning fevers that will cause your eyes to fail and your life to web away. Verse 17, I'll turn against you and you'll be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you. And those, and you will run even when no one is chasing you. When the nation's fathers reject God, the nation suffers. Now, do we want to follow the way the nation goes? And again, you can look at the issue of homosexuality in this country that it's just even 10 years ago, an incredible change has taken place just in the way that society views that as opposed to what does God say? Oh, we don't really care what God says. Don't Bible thump me, you know. Throughout Israel's history, kings and judges would either obey or reject God's laws, their fathers, if you will. If they obeyed, the nation was blessed. If they disobeyed, it came totally apart at the seams. It was in disarray. During the time of the judges, they would disobey God, and then a judge would stand up and says, we're going to follow God. We're going to get back on track. And God would say, okay, I'm merciful, and now the nation is blessed because the judge, the righteous judge, was set up. The parents, if you will, doing the right thing, cause blessings and or cause cursings. With the blessings, Leviticus 26, verse 3, it says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I'll send you seasonable rains, and the land will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce fruit. And he says, you're just going to have these blessings. Verse 6, I'll give you peace in the land. You'll be able to sleep with no cause of fear. Yeah, we're not in very good condition that way anymore, are we? In Israel right now, they can't even sleep for cause of fear and bombs going off and all kinds of things. And verse 12 says, I'll walk among you and I'll be your God and you'll be my people. That's if you follow my decrees and do my commandments. And we've got to know which is which. We've got to recognize when something is straying from God and when one is in line with God's directives. The next sermon, we'll talk about some of the effect of societal sins today and just look at some specific examples of what goes on and the effect that that is having on us. But let's, as we finish this second point with societal sins, take a look at how God expects us to evaluate them. He doesn't expect us to just sit here in society and let it blow by and not look at the news and fail to make comments about it and discuss it and see how it's in opposition to God's way. He expects us to know the difference and to evaluate it. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40, in this blessings and cursings chapter, the English Standard Version in Leviticus 26, verse 40, says, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their treachery that they committed against me and also walking contrary to me. He says, I want you to recognize where your parents maybe weren't doing the right thing. This doesn't mean to be critical of parents. We're just trying to run them down or whatever, but just be honest. Okay, were there things that our parents did that they could have done better? They don't want us to follow. They recognize it as a problem. We will talk more in detail about that over the next couple of sermons, or next sermon, or however long this goes. But here's the point. If they confess the iniquity, in other words, you've got to recognize the iniquity. Recognize it, how can you confess? You can't just go blindly along through life and not be evaluating the difference between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. In their treachery that they committed against me and also walking contrary to me, verse 41, so that I walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies because they sinned against me. If then their uncircumcised heart is humbled and they make amends for their iniquity. And whether you are the perpetrator or whether you're the victim, it says we need to repent. We need to repent if we are the perpetrator of sin of whatever type as a parent. Or if we're the victim of a parent's sin. Or societal sin or whatever else. We see it, we repent, we confess it, and we personally come to God because God holds us responsible individually. We'll also look at the scriptures that talk about that. This is, again, just an introduction. In verse 42, what's going to happen? Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. I will remember my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. I gave promises to your father Abraham, and I will give you the blessings in a physical sense from even the nation that we live in, from a spiritual sense of the grace that comes from the loins of Abraham on down to the birth of Jesus Christ. I'll give you that blessing if you turn to me. So once again, recognizing God's way versus man's way and repenting. That's what it's about. So now we've talked about mankind's sins and how it's been passed down and the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ and our loving Father. We've talked about societal blessings that we can, we'll get the curses for, or the blessings for those that do right. And now let's talk about the generational sins. The sins passed on from parents to children, grandparents to grandchildren, and so forth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 again. Exodus 20, verse 4. We'll rehearse it here again in verse 4 of the New Living Translation. You must not make for yourself an idol or image of anything in the heavens or earth or sea. Don't put anything in front of God. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you give allegiance to? Is it Adam and Eve and their proclivity to choose their own way, or do we have God our Father and Jesus Christ, and choose their way? Verse 5, I laid the sins of the parents on the children. The entire family is affected, even the children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. The curses of parental sin can be many. Do we reflect any of the negative traits of our parents? And again, look at it not to condemn the parents, not to judge them. It's God's job to judge each person, not ourselves. But divorce. If your parents were divorced, it had a bad effect on you. I don't care what the circumstance is. Divorce is not fun. It is not positive for the children, right? And oftentimes, divorce will run in families because the families don't fix the problems. Addictions. Sexual sins. Emotional disorders. Depression. Any of these are things that maybe you've inherited a little bit of? It's possible. Many of you have. Bitterness, negativity. Prejudice. If your parents were very prejudiced people, your grandparents very prejudiced people, a lot of you just overcame that and recognized the difference and say, no, that's sin. And you don't have that same prejudice, but a lot of you carry that along even though you maybe don't recognize it. poverty. You know, nobody ever rose above the basic level and improved themselves. Worry, health problems. You know, there are a lot of things that we can inherit from our forefathers. Visiting the sin upon the children and grandchildren, most often it means that the children or grandchildren do the same sins. It's not that, okay, your grandfather sinned and so I'm punishing you. It's that your grandfather sinned and he passed that proclivity on to your dad, and your dad passed it on to you, and you haven't recognized it as sin and come under the grace of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to change the outcome. That's why we've got to recognize when sin is sin. These sins bring pain and bondage to our lives. It reduces the quality of our life until the time we choose to change it. To allow God to change it, to allow Jesus Christ to help change that. And he says that he will. And he'll pass on the blessings to those that love him through the ages. Sins and curses don't have to remain. And again, as a parent, and please don't misunderstand, we're not here to try to get you to judge your parents or to just look at them in a negative sense. And many of you just have such fine parents, you're probably thinking, I can't really think of that much that they did wrong. They're a perfect parent. I love them. This is good. And that's a wonderful situation to be in. A lot of you aren't that blessed. And again, the purpose is not to focus on the bad that parents do, but rather to see how the positive character and actions can have a positive effect. And that following God's way works when we do follow God's way. And that we need to see the difference and respond positively. Let's close with Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 is just gone through the Ten Commandments, and this is Moses addressing the children of Israel before they go into the Promised Land to receive the blessings he wants to give them, and he's setting the criteria here for blessings or curses. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, he says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those that love him and keep his commandments." And if you've had a past where those that came before you didn't love and keep God's commandments, now it's your opportunity to receive the blessings of those others that have. And God says you can get it. Verse 10, he repays those who hate him to their face. You go against God, you're going to pay the penalty. Adam and Eve got thrown out of the garden and had thorns and thistles and pain in childbirth and all this stuff, right? To destroy them, he will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him face to face. Do we really care for and love God, or do we reject and hate him? That's what his question is with us. And then verse 11, he says, "Therefore you, whoever you are, whatever age you are, whatever background you've got, whatever situation that you are in or have come out of, addressing you. Therefore you shall keep the commandment and statutes and judgments which I command you today to observe them." And our spiritual relationship with God is individual. And he can overcome by applying the love of the Father to our lives. Verse 12, I'm talking about the Heavenly Father. Verse 12, "Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers, who also were obedient." That we can choose which to come under. Verse 13, "And he will love you and bless you and multiply you That's what he wants from us. We have much to say about this topic. We'll get back to it in 2 weeks with the blessings and sins of the fathers.